This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
9:19 in the morning, this is The Morning Run with Shazana Chuang and Chen Li. Let's get a quick update on how the bursa is looking like at this time of day.
Well, the index is breaching 1,600 points with this rise, in fact, this decline. So declining to 1,600 points, Malaysia Building Society is going gangbusters, up by 4.7% to 67 cents on the back of news that the regulator has allowed them to begin talks to buy MIDF from PNB.
We'll try to cover that in just a bit, but for now we're turning our attention to ASEAN markets, which are for a change enjoying a shade of green as most reflect a positive year-to-date performance, with Singapore and Jakarta heading the pack. Even the FBM KLCI is reflecting the strong fund inflow into this region with a 2.4% thereabout year-to-date positive return. If I quickly look at the Bloomberg, down slightly, 2.1%.
This is in part due to the strong performance of index heavyweights like Public Bank, Hatalega, CIMB Bank, and CIMB Group and MISC, while the laggards are Pressmetal, IOI Core, Mr. DIY, and KLK. However, as we move into the second quarter of 2022, will this outperformance of the local bourse continue, and which names will be driving that?
For some thoughts on this, we turn to Tushar Mohatta, Head of Equity Research at Nomura Malaysia. Good morning, Tushar. Thanks very much for speaking with us. Now, for Malaysia, borders have reopened as of 1st April. What are some of the reopening beneficiaries that we should consider?
Hi, good morning, and thank you for having me on the show. We are quite optimistic now that the borders have opened. It is all the more important as most of the world has already opened up and everyone is competing for the same tourists. So for Malaysia, some of the more obvious beneficiaries for the reopening theme would be stocks in the aviation and gaming sectors. So airport, the Genting stocks, for example. Also some of the REITs which are retail and hospitality focused, like Pavilion, KLCC, IGP, YTL REIT, etc. But also more importantly, we also think that sectors which rely on foreign labor will benefit as well, as the reopening will allow the companies to hire workers from overseas and help them because they are facing a severe shortage of foreign workers. So sectors such as EMS, electronics manufacturing services, technology, glove manufacturers, and even palm oil companies should benefit from more labor availability.
Yeah, Tusha, one of the reasons why Singapore has gone up by a mammoth, nearly 9% year-to-date is because of the financial services sector, which has done really well. Do you expect the same performance from the Malaysian banks going into 2022?
Yes. So for the Malaysian banks as well, they have performed well for the whole of last year, also in the early part of this year. And notwithstanding the fact that the Cukai Makmur or the prosperity tax impacts the banks the most because they have the highest profit base. Now, we do continue to see banks will outperform going forward as well. First of all, banks' performance historically has been a proxy to rising U.S. 10-year yields as well. So Malaysian banks have also been historically positively correlated to that. Second, the Malaysian banks are also more domestic focused rather than external focused. So given that externally there are risks of recession, etc., but domestically things are reopening and things are looking better, we think Malaysian banks will continue to do well this year. And our topics in this space would be Public and Hong Leong Bank.
Tusha, there are concerns that a recession is impending based on the movement of the yield curve. This, of course, will impact sentiment, but has this changed the investment strategy that Nomura Malaysia is advocating?
We do see investors get a bit jittery due to the inverted yield curve. Also, Fed is tightening policy. Inflation numbers are high. So all of this is a recipe for stagflation. But at this point, our expectation is more likely that there is going to be a slowdown rather than an outright recession. But what is more important is that Malaysian stocks will not be immune if there is a U.S. Slowdown or recession. Should the situation get worse, let's say this slowdown fears materialize, we would advise investors to focus less on the exporters and the technology counters listed on Bursa and focus more on the domestic-focused stocks such as banks, which I mentioned earlier. Also, the commodity stocks such as the aluminium, chemical names, which are listed here, they are proxies to the rising commodity prices. So those should be more resilient in this scenario.
And meanwhile, the fallout from the Ukraine war continues, and this is reflected in inflationary pressures such as prices of energies, metals and grains. They've all hit all-time highs. Crude palm oil counters had a strong run in the last few months due to the jump in CPO prices as well. Where do you think CPO prices go from here?
Yeah, so there are several reasons why plantation stock prices have done well. For one, they had barely moved up in the last 2 years, whereas CPO prices has already tripled. So there was an element of catch-up taking place here. For CPO, there is and there continues to be a supply shortage in Malaysia due to the labor issues. Also, there is a shortage of their substitutes. Soybean oil is affected due to bad weather in South America. Sunflower oil supplies are disrupted due to the war in Ukraine and Russia. So that said, there are these reasons which are supporting CPO prices. But going forward, we are seeing some signs of situation reversing. So, for example, for one, borders opening will help Malaysian planters get labor in, so it should help production outlook. Second, we are already seeing some signs of demand destruction taking place in India, which is the biggest market. So CPO prices being so high, they are a very price-sensitive market. They are looking at soybean oil instead. So we think that CPO prices are likely going to peak sometime in the current quarter and head lower from here on.
And Tushar, what are the, still related to commodities, the energy prices, oil prices have been on a big rally so far this year, but Malaysia's oil and gas services sector has been a bit of a mixed bag. You know, companies like Sumatech, Sapura have been seeing their problems, so about Dynamic as well. Why do you think this is happening? Why has there not been a correlative increase in prices for the oil and gas sector in Malaysia?
Yeah, actually, Malaysian oil and gas sector is slightly different because they do not directly benefit from a rise in oil prices, mainly because there are no major upstream listed oil and gas counters in Malaysia, whereas some of the other markets, even closer to ASEAN, Thailand, has upstream oil and gas E&P companies listed, so they benefit. In the case of Malaysia, the issue is that some of the companies which are listed are more in the midstream, downstream segment. Some of them are still being affected by the legacy contracts and lower margins and losses on them. And that's why this sector has overall not gone up as well. That said, we do like some of the sectors, or some of the stocks in this sector. Incen, for example, is one of our picks. Dialog would be another one which we like. They indirectly, but they do benefit when the oil prices remain elevated for a long period of time.
And you covered the construction sector with news that ALR's proposal to buy the four Klang Valley highways for 5.3 billion ringgit has been accepted by the government. Gamuna looks set to be the key beneficiary. How do you see the outlook for the construction sector evolve, and what is your view on Gamuna?
Yeah, so the toll road deal helps resolve the long-standing kind of a stalemate situation in the sector. So for the government, it helps as they do not have to compensate toll road operators anymore. For the people, there is an assurance that the toll they are paying now will be frozen going forward. So for Gamuna, it means that they become an overall smaller company once they sell their toll roads, because they lose a big share of their earnings, 20 to 30% by different earnings estimates. But at the same time, the construction sector has been in positive news flow lately. Gamuda, for example, has surprised the market by winning projects in Australia, in Singapore. And we've also seen more news flow on MRT Line 3, which is being approved and going ahead in Malaysia. So overall, we are positive. Outlook for the sector has improved thanks to MRT 3 going ahead. And we like Gamuda as the topic in this sector as well.
All right, Tushar, before we let you go, what's your call on the market and other top picks that you have apart from those that you've already named?
Yeah, so Malaysia, given the risks which are still present externally, we think local markets remain relatively more defensive in the high inflation, low growth environment. After all, it is a net commodity exporter. Foreign ownership in Malaysian stocks has also been low because there's been a lot of sell-off in the last few years. So overall, we have a positive view on the market. Our KLCI target is 1670 for end of this year. Among stocks, apart from what I mentioned, such as banks such as Public and Hong Leong, we like gaming, Genting Malaysia. We also like the commodity stocks which I mentioned, Press Metal and PKM. At the same time, we like some of the technology stocks which have been beaten down quite drastically. So Inari, Greytech, Cetos Digital, which is also in the software technology space. Then we have Westports, which we also like, Sime Darby, exposure to commodities as well. So those would be some of our topics.
Tushar, thanks very much for speaking with us. That was Tushar Mohata, head of equity research at Nomura Malaysia, giving us his top picks in the market and in the conversation there. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.